The difference between being smart and wise, you notice how they didn't brag about how they had beat the adults? You know, notice how they weren't cocky about it, right? Because that's the difference between being a smart aleck and being a wise one, right? Wisdom, the Bible says, is justified by her deeds. She doesn't just hear, she practices and lives. The one who seeks after wisdom is wise, but the one who thinks that they have obtained it is a fool. The book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and Christ is the conclusion of wisdom. Not that you have trepidation and you're scared to death, but fear as in reverence and awe. The book of James, which is considered the New Testament Proverbs, says in the opening chapter, if anyone lacks wisdom, if you ain't got Jesus, James, the brother of our Lord, says, let him ask. Just ask. And God, who is generous without reproach, will give wisdom, Jesus, to all. Just ask. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story. Bring its bud to flowery. No. Bring its bud to something flowery. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour. You see, you can be smart, you can memorize a lot of things, but smart isn't good enough because you're still going to forget some of the words of the hymns. And so it's better to be wise, to be humble. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to tell you a story that I think the kids will especially like, especially if you've ever seen rabbits around your neighborhood. This is a story about two rabbits. One was a girl rabbit, Wanda the Wise, and one was a boy rabbit, Frederick the Foolish. But they were best of friends. And one day, they were walking through the field, or better, they were hopping through it, right? And they came upon a couple of carrots. And Frederick said, look it, two carrots. He grabs the one carrot that has great big leafies on it, right? And he pulls it out, and it's just a little thing. And Wanda grabs the one that has hardly any leaves on it, pulls it out, and it's huge. And Frederick goes, oh, no, I got the little squirt of a carrot. And Wanda the Wise said, Frederick, Frederick, you can't always tell how big a carrot is by judging the size of its leaves. Well, they continued hopping through the field, and they came on two more carrots. And this time, Frederick said, I'll let you pick first. So Wanda the Wise, she sniffs, and she looks at those two carrots and observes and is studying it, you know? And then she pulls out the carrot that has just a few little leaves on it. No, no. She pulled out the carrot that had the big leaves on it. Yes. Because you see, Frederick was assuming that all the ones with the big leaves are going to be runts. But it was a huge carrot. And now Frederick was really confused because he said, I thought you said you couldn't judge a carrot by the size of its leaves. And she said, Wanda goes, but you also have to think before you act and choose. Well, now Frederick is really confused. And they go hopping through the field some more. And they find two more carrots. And you know what Frederick does? Wanda says, you choose this time. And so he analyzes and he inspects and he takes a look at those two carrots and the size of the leaves and stuff, and he just gets confused. He doesn't know what to do. So he looks at Wanda and says, I'm just not as smart as you. Wanda hops over and grabs one of the carrots, and it's huge. See, Frederick said, I knew you were smarter than me. You got the big carrot again. And that means, and so he hops over, he said, that means this one for me is going to be a little runt. And Wanda said, no, no, no. I'm going to give you this carrot. This one I picked for you, Frederick. And then she said, words of wisdom. She said, Frederick, what good is it to be a smart rabbit with the gift of wisdom and to have no friends? One really wouldn't be very wise. You're my friend. You see, I can be a smart rabbit with a full belly, but what's the point if I have no friends? You're my friend, Frederick. And this carrot is for you. Wisdom? Folly? Judging a book by its cover? When you think you've got it figured out because you've just wrapped your head around it? But then suddenly it's not because it's got lots of leaves that it's a big carrot, and it's not because it's got just a little bit of leaves that it's a big carrot. How do you figure it out? James says, seek not wisdom from below, but wisdom from above. Wanda the wise is correct. What good is the gift of wisdom if you don't share its blessings with others? What good is the gift of wisdom if you don't share its blessings with others? I mean, think about it. A person can be smart academically. They can have PhDs. They can go to school and they can memorize the whole Bible even. But if all it is just information, if there's no application, if a person can recite it at will but doesn't live it, you see, wisdom is the gift of God where one is in alignment with the will of God. You want wisdom? Just ask for it. And God, who is generous, will give it to all. Christ is our righteousness and our wisdom, says the Apostle Paul. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and Christ is its conclusion. The book of Proverbs has all kinds of important sayings. And people love to read Proverbs because if you pay attention to those wise sayings and actually apply that knowledge and understanding to life, it's amazing how there is a lot of coherence. That's what Proverbs is saying. That you have Sophia, that you have Lady Wisdom, and she was with God from the very beginning. There are some, as you well know, that want to participate in Sophia worship. They don't like the masculine God, and so they refuse to name the Trinity that we've been named with in baptism. They avoid Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because they think it's too masculine. They don't want to worship Jesus because they think he's too masculine, and so they have goddess worship. They worship Sophia, Lady Wisdom. I was at a Bible camp this past week, Sunday night and through Monday morning. And Pastor Mark Schwartz from South Zumbra was with me. And we were sitting in this one cabin for adults. And on the wall behind me was one of those pictures of Jesus. You know, there's lots of pictures of Jesus. Well, This was the one of Jesus laughing. And so I said to Pastor Mark Schwartz, I said, do you know which text you're going to preach on for Holy Trinity? He said, no, I'm not sure yet. I haven't really thought about it. I said, well, I'm going to preach on Proverbs because I think there's a difference between being smart and being wise. And we were talking about, you know, this goddess worship stuff. And Pastor Mark Schwartz says this to me. He says, so what do you think Jesus would say about Sophia being the fourth person of the Trinity? And I went, ha, 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 ha. Jesus, the laughing Jesus behind me. That's what Jesus would do. He'd laugh about it. Because we know what Scripture says. Scripture says that Sophia is not a feminine god. Sophia is called in Proverbs 8 the master workman. I mean, the author of Proverbs is mixing the metaphors in the same chapter, for crying out loud. And Paul will say, and God has made him, Jesus, our wisdom, our justification, our righteousness, our sanctification, our glory. You see? It's not about gender. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not about gender. It's about worshiping the God who has revealed himself to us. And the fear of the Lord is indeed the beginning of wisdom. And Mark, Pastor Mark Schwartz, he said, you know, it reminds me of when I worked at a restaurant before I started seminary in the Twin Cities. He said there was a young man, his name was Saul, 21 years old, student at the University of Minnesota. And was this young man smart? He was brilliant. He was a math major, and when they had some slow time in the restaurant, he'd be sitting there working on these complicated math problems. And Mark would look at him and said, wow, that's amazing. How can you do this stuff? He said, well, some people say I'm a genius when it comes to math. And then Mark said one day, they were getting ready for the supper crowd. And so Mark said to Saul, Saul, I need you to go back and get the mop and bucket and stuff. I need you to scrub the floor here so that we're all ready when the customers start coming in this evening. And so Saul went back there, and Mark started taking care of some other things, and suddenly looks at his watch, and he realizes a half hour has passed. And he's thinking, where in the world is Saul? He said, so I went back to the mop closet, the door's open, and he said, here's this math genius. And Pastor Mark Schwartz, he said, so what are you doing, Saul? He said, I'm looking for the mop. And Pastor Mark said, it's right here. It was hanging right on the inside of the mop closet where mops are. And Pastor Mark was telling me this, and I said, you know, it's not the same being smart and being wise, is it? My mom had an eighth grade education, but she was one of the wisest women in the whole world. So it's not just about how much academic knowledge you accumulate. And I told Pastor Mark, I said, yeah, I said, out in Tacoma, we had this couple. They had a young boy. They both had their master's in music. They taught high school music. He was working on his PhD. I mean, they were brilliant when it came to music. One Sunday, they come to church, and they're driving a new vehicle. I said, wow, got a different vehicle. And they said, yeah, we had to. I said, what do you mean? They had a van that was only 3.5, 4 years old. And they said, yeah, the engine blew up. I said, what? You mean like when you were driving it, everything okay? And they said, yeah, it blew up because it didn't have any oil in it. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, we never checked the oil. Well, you know what happens, right? You don't have to check the oil. You don't have to check the tire pressure anymore because you got it right there on your dash. It tells you when you need to do everything, right? Because we're going to let the car be smarter than we are. Why in the world would we pull the dipstick out and check the oil? Or the air pressure in the tires, you see? And I was telling Pastor Mark this. I said, there's all kinds of stories. I bet you've got some too. Where the accumulation of knowledge does not necessarily equate with wisdom. Think about some of those avowed atheists in our world. They're super bright smart, right? But they're not wise enough to know that Jesus is Lord. There's a difference between being smart and being wise and having the gift of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ, your righteousness, your sanctification, your life everlasting. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is calling. Wisdom is not whispering. Wisdom is not sneaking around. Wisdom isn't shy. Did you see what happens in Proverbs 8? Wisdom is shouting loud enough to wake the dead. Wisdom is calling and begging and beseeching for people to hear and to come to common sense. But there's so much noise in the world, most people aren't even going to hear wisdom. So you know what she does? According to Proverbs 8, she positions herself at strategic locations. The high places? That's church, folks. That's the temple. That's the worship places. You want to find wisdom? Wisdom says, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be at the place where people worship the Creator, God. She positions herself at the crossroads, those busy intersections where people are coming and going, strategic places if you're going to put up a big billboard. She positions herself at the gate. She's right there at your front door, pounding, pounding, pounding. The main gate is where legal transactions happened. The court of justice. It's also where the marketplace was. You see, Lady Wisdom, the incarnate Jesus, the eternal Word of God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through Him. Nothing was made apart from the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And from His fullness have we all received grace upon grace. Wisdom dares to speak the truth, even if we don't want to hear it. A camp counselor, a camp executive director. The executive director says to two camp counselors, a boy and a girl, that have worked at camp for 3 or 4 years. They love the Lord. They've been teaching the kids. They've decided, and they announced to the executive director, that they're going to move in and share a place together. The executive director looks at them because he loves them and says, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure that by moving in together and sharing a bed, that that would honor your Lord and give a suitable witness to His glory? These two counselors used to Facebook message the executive director 2 to 3 times a week. And now he hasn't heard from them for 3 to 4 weeks. Just because he gave them something to think about. Will this choice honor and glorify your Lord? He wasn't condemning. He wasn't criticizing. He was calling and inviting them to consider what the world might assume or conclude. On May 10th, George and Marjorie Heath went into a restaurant in the mall out in Massachusetts. And all of a sudden, for lack of a better word, a crazy, a young man in his 20s, I think 28 years old, he comes in and he starts swinging a knife along and stabbing anybody that he can get to, and he attacks a young waitress who's pregnant. And George immediately, high school teacher, age 56, immediately sprang out of his seat and went over there and wrapped his arms around this guy trying to tackle him and trying to protect all the other people that were in danger of being stabbed. And in the process, he got stabbed in the head, and eventually, by the time they got him to the hospital, he was dead on arrival. And when people were asking Marjorie, to whom he's been married for 6 years, they have 2 boys, why he would do that, she said, he was always doing that. Now, was that wise or was that foolish for him not to think that he could get hurt, injured, or killed. But his whole life, he's been living his life for the sake of others, protecting others. He's a high school teacher that's dearly loved. And he always told his students, if you must laugh at someone, laugh at yourself. It was a proverb that he lived by. 2 weeks ago, he got up really early in the morning and didn't want to wake his wife, Marjorie. So he went into the closet, got dressed, put his shoes on, went to school, high school teacher. And suddenly in school, he realizes he's got two different shoes on that don't even come close to matching. And so you know what he did? He looked at his students and he said, remember what I tell you? If you must laugh, laugh at yourself. Look what I did this morning. I didn't want to wake my wife up. I went into the closet getting dressed. I got two different shoes on. On May 10th, he was stabbed trying to protect another young person. And 3 days later, all the students came to school, and each of them had two different shoes on in honor of their beloved teacher. Now, I went on the computer, and I did all the research I could to find out where George Heath's faith is. He didn't want to have a church funeral. He just wanted to have a party so that everybody could have fun and be happy and tell stories. Here is a man who laid down his life for others, but maybe missed the wisest decision of all and didn't know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Gerhard von Rad says, that's the epitome of folly. When we think that we're autonomous, that there is no correlation between what we do, sowing, and what we get, reaping. Thinking that we can live without God is simply foolishness. If anyone lacks knowledge, wisdom, understanding, just ask. And God, who is generous, will give it to all. Jesus, the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the gift of God for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able, and our hymn of the day is, Come Thou Almighty King, on the goldenrod insert. Come Thou Almighty King.